Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And we are done gossiping for a hot second.
Just for now.
We were gossiping before we went on the
air. Maybe a little bit.
Which isn't very polite. My mother said, if you've got nothing nice to say,
don't say anything at all.
Come sit by me. That's a little... I gave you a little Steel Magnolias while
Thank
standing.
Thank you for that.
And doing
Drink
a bevel.
Drink your juice, Shelby. You did. I just got a Rob Schneider bevel.
Which
and
is
it was
kind of amazing.
Sexy.
You know who taught me? The one and only Freddie Martinez.
Oh my gosh. Even that Freddie Martinez.
He's
God.
Very excited to go see Prince of Broadway.
Ooh, as am I.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because.
Oh my God.
I must share this story. Don't roll your eyes at me, Kevin David Thomas. I must share a story. I have not seen Hal Prince since 1968. This is a true story. I could have been in Company. I could have been in Follies. I could have played one of the ghosts or the other things that bored the audience. I could have been one of those things. Mm. I could have been the cello in A Little Night Music. I could have had the role of the reciter in Pacific Overtures.
Oh.
But not to be.
No.
Opening night of Darling of the Day, mm-mm. 1968.
No.
I was at Howard Johnson's. I had the blue plate special. Mm. I got food poisoning. And as I was introduced to Hal Prince on the red carpet, I vomited on his hush puppies. And he has never forgiven me. I'm very excited to see all the shows that I've missed since the 1968 opening night of Darling of the Day, for I've never returned to anything that had Hal Prince involved for fear that he would give me a bill for the shoes and I could not afford to pay them.
Oh, my God.
Blueberry compost and a diet tab all over the man's shoes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But Darling of the Day was lovely. It starred Patricia Rutledge and Vincent Price. Price, the great actor.
The great musical theater actor.
Brilliant musical theater actor. Who once said to me, and I quote, "Are you in line?" I was panhandling outside of a McDonald's.
That's it. Nice. That was a great performance art piece.
I just... You haven't seen me until I played Julius Caesar.
I love your MAME.
MAME? He's mm-hmm. in MAME?
Yeah.
Oh, he would be a good MAME.
He'd be a great MAME.
I was MAME Dennis at the Shawnee Playhouse.
Shawnee.
I got 5 EMC points. I hold a record, you know. I am the oldest EMC candidate in American theater today.
Mm.
I am at, let's see, hold on. How many did I say I got
Carry
from the Shawnee?
One.
I got 2 at the Shawnee.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have 2 points.
Moving on up.
I almost got a point for Pump Boys and Dinettes at Woodstock Playhouse.
Mm, no.
But apparently, you actually had to have been cast in the show to get the point, and you can't just sing along in the audience and say, I was in Pump Boys and Dinettes at the Woodstock Playhouse. I covered the Deborah Monk role, which is also my favorite type of dinner roll, the Deborah Monk role. I get it at Sashima Sushi.
You just pulled that one out. That was
I
good.
Did.
That was good.
That's my favorite sushi.
Oh my God.
I'll get it right. My favorite sushi is the Deborah Monk role. That's it. That's it. It took me
there
a while.
There it is. Now you got it. Oh, finally a joke.
When I went to Benihana, I got the Deborah Monk roll.
My favorite restaurant.
Is it really?
Benihana is my favorite place to go.
Really?
I've spent more birthdays at Benihana than any restaurant ever.
I didn't know you like sushi?
I like dinner theater, Rob. I like dinner theater.
You like those performances that they give?
I like an onion stack that looks like a volcano. I like trying to get those shrimp, not the shrimp or whatever they want to try to toss in my mouth. I like when they try to toss it in their hat. I like when they do the little knife trick and they're like flip, 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 flip. I like when I love clapping for them. I like eating the food. I love Benihana so much. You're welcome, Benihana. You're welcome.
What are they paying to do promos?
I've been to them
next
all
week. You're going to tell me about how you got your sleep number right? No,
the best is when you go to a non-Benihana Japanese hibachi.
Benihilhana.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yes. And that they're naked. And well,
are you going?
Betty Hill. I don't know. Benny Hill's like all that. But I like it because they break the rules in those ones. They're like Sutton. They had the sake that they make the fried rice with, and they were like. To Sutton, they're like, open your mouth. So they start squirting it, but they don't stop until she's like, stop. And it's coming all over her mouth. Okay. Yep.
I hope to God somebody just walked in listening to this and have no idea what we're talking about. Speaking of squirting in people's mouths, I remember my first OB ceremony.
How do you listen to musicals when you have a new musical?
Listen to musicals?
Yeah, no.
With my ears.
No. But do you
and sit, my heart?
Do you do you sit and like not do anything? Do you watch other things? Do you read? Or when it's a new musical, Darling of the Day, first time listen, do you sit down and do you just focus on the musical?
Oh, what
lyrics?
A great question! You know what I normally do? I like taking walks at night. I like taking walks. So what I'll usually do is I'll put something on the walk, and I'll go that way and I'll listen to it. Or in the shower.
Love listening to music.
I'm a Pisces. Water.
Wait, when's your birthday?
February 25th. Uh-huh. What are you?
A Cancer, but Sutton's a Pisces.
Yeah, I usually find that like when I'm directing, my best ideas come when I'm in the shower.
Mm. Like, do you take long showers?
I do.
Wow.
I really do.
Do you sing?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a shower playlist.
Do you really?
I do. I have a shower playlist.
What's on your shower playlist right now?
Oh, it depends on
shower.
What's going on. Like the first three numbers are usually something energetic.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then like the last two are ballads because it's like, get out of the shower now.
Wow, you really like have like a little kiki in the shower.
Usually my shower this morning it started off with Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen.
Waving! Yeah.
Which is great, especially like when you're lifting your arms in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
It's really great. Get those notes going. Then usually Penny in My Pocket from Hello Dolly goes in there. And then what else was on there today? Oh, I Believe from Book of Mormon.
Oh, geez.
Was on there. Then we slowed down a little bit. Mm. We go into
Starmites.
No. Okay. Not that slow.
All right.
Then we go into Someone Wonderful I Missed from I Love My Wife.
Oh, my God.
And then we end with a really nice ballad, and it was Nancy Lamott's Rhode Island is Famous for You.
Oh, that's nice.
And you had told me this. I forgot to mention this when we did the Nancy Lamott episode. You told me that Jonathan Schwartz ends all of his radio shows. With
Arthur Schwartz's son, Jonathan Schwartz, who hosts the radio show on WNYC or WQXR. Shit.
One of the
WQXR,
two.
I think. Yeah, he ends every episode with a Nancy Lamott song.
That's so nice.
It's really special. I'm going to get him on this show, definitely.
Oh, we would love to have him. Oh, my gosh. My God, my God, my God. But don't you do a shower playlist?
I do not sing in the shower.
Well, you have a beautiful voice.
I enjoy singing. I love to sing. But I'm not a shower singer. Wow. I will listen to music, but I often listen to podcasts. Not our podcast, but often like 99% Invisible or there's a new constant. I like political stuff too.
Podcasts I will sit and listen to.
Yeah. Oh, you will like sit and listen to them.
Yeah. It's very hard for me sometimes to listen to podcasts on the subway because the noise of the train sometimes drown out words and stuff. Or if I'm driving a car anywhere, I'll listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. But no, cast recordings, I usually take a walk and listen to them.
Mm.
Not distracted by anything.
No,
what about
that.
You?
Yeah, I will listen to them on, if I have good headphones, not the Apple headphones, but like good headphones.
Oh, yeah.
I will listen to them on like the subway ride, I will listen to a cast recording because it's the perfect amount. It takes me about an hour to go anywhere, so that's a pretty good amount of time to listen. I have a lot of records, and I like to listen to them, but it's hard because I have a full house, so it's hard to have the time to listen to the records in the house. So I will plug in headphones and listen to that. When Sutton is watching Real Housewives of XYZ County, I will listen to a record and still be in the room, but listening to a record.
Yeah.
But I find that I have to focus on it. If I'm doing other things and listening to something for the first time, I can't read. I can't do other stuff.
Do you read the lyrics along with it, or you just sit and
listen?
I have.
When I listen to Hamilton for the first time,
You need to on Hamilton.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's so much information coming at you. It's hard to just
Hamilton, you got
to
keep going back to more and more.
And I find that with anything I listen to, even if I don't like it, I want to listen to it twice so I can really
That's really
get
lovely.
My ear into it. Yeah.
No, I like that.
You know, I listened to recently. It's not a favorite thing, but Celebration, the Harvey Jones and Tom Schmidt.
Yes.
It's on Spotify, and I finally listened to it because I love 110 The Shade. I like I Do. I love Fantastics. What's not to like about Celebration? It's great.
Yeah, Celebration's a great
score. I've listened to it 4 or 5 times now.
And wasn't that part of... Weren't they trying to start like a new musical theater lab, and that was part of it?
Yeah, they were really kind of, I want to say, off-Broadway in the feeling of it. It's very organic and very Liz Suedos kind of like... I don't know why I associate her with organic making of musicals, but
that's
they
what
did.
It was.
They were very organic and very avant-garde is the word.
Yeah, avant-garde is right.
Sorry, there was a...
Is there a fly coming at you?
There's a mosquito coming at me, yeah.
Hit it. You got it. You got it.
Wow.
It's the ghost of El Gallo coming for you.
Old Jerry Orbach.
Oh, Jerry Orbach. God,
oh, man,
I wish
we could have chatted with him.
Wouldn't that have been wonderful?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Just sit down and talk to him about Carnival alone would have made me happy.
Right. What do you have today?
I was going to sing, what's that song, Her Face?
Yeah,
I was actually
going to as well.
Two
and I thought,
other hands.
We've had enough songs on this episode already that I just thought, I don't know, is...
I sang.
But that would take two other hands, not mine.
I sang Her Face for a clear cell rosacea industrial. Her Face for a clear cell industrial. Because she has pimples on her face.
Got it.
And clear cell will clear it
so
up.
So good.
But that would take clear cell, not mine. That didn't work. You know, Kevin, they can't all be gold here. Sorry.
Some have to be bronze, silver, rust.
Rust, copper, tinfoil, aluminum. What is my favorite thing? Oh, what a great question. Mine is, because we had the Tony Awards a while back. Mine's a Tony Award.
Oh.
Broadcast.
Oh, I know you love your Tony Award broadcasts.
I do indeed.
He flips his glasses at me.
I do indeed. And this was one of my... I love it. I love it. I love it.
Ooh,
okay.
You just like... Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
Squealed a little. All right.
Okay. So...
Decade.
80s.
You love your 80s.
Well, they're so good.
Are they? Because that decade, come on. There were a couple of those years where, one musical nominated, Wind in the Willows. I mean...
Okay. Let's have a moment here. We know, in 1989 were the worst Tonys ever.
89?
Yeah. Because it was Jerome Robbins Broadway, Star Mites, Largely New York.
Largely New York? I don't even know that
It's a Bill
one.
Irwin thing. Mm. They made it a music... Oh, God, and someone's going to scream this at me. The fourth nominated musical was...
Something British?
Maybe. I don't know this. What did I say? What have I already said? I said Star...
Not Miss Saigon.
No. Jerome Robbins Broadway.
That was 91.
Oh, Black and Blue.
Oh, yes.
So, Jerome Robbins, Black and Blue, their reviews. Star Mites.
Yeah.
And Largely New York was like a play with music.
Yeah, that's
so anyway,
year.
That's a bad year.
So, it's not 89.
Not 89.
Okay. 83.
Not 83.
Okay, I'm just throwing out numbers.
Okay, so in 1984, it's not 84, but in 1984 was a really exciting year on Broadway because the nominees were Baby, Sunday in the Park, The Rink,
Lacage.
And Lacage. And the Tony Awards were like, we're going to do a tribute that year to Jerry Herman, Candor and Ebb, and...
Not Sondheim?
And Sondheim.
Okay.
And so then the next year, 1985, those are my Tony Awards.
Okay.
They were like,
Rob.
Oh, that writing thing where we celebrated the writers worked really well. So who do we want to celebrate this year? And they picked Julie Stein, Cy Coleman, and Andrew Lloyd Webber. And they were like, we're going to celebrate them. Now, you have to remember, 1985 is a really bad year for musicals.
Yeah.
Because that was the year they were like, we're not nominating a lead Nothing. Actor or actress in a musical or choreography because we don't think anything is good enough.
Yeah, there wasn't enough stuff.
So no lead actor, no lead actress.
They didn't even say, oh, like this year with Encounter, like we'll just give an honorary sound design award. They weren't even like, oh, we'll give an honorary actor in a musical.
They got nothing. This was the 39th Tony Awards, and they had no leading actor, actress in a musical, or choreographer. The nominees for Best Musical that year, and they all have little displays on the show, was Grind, which we've talked about a lot.
We have, a lot.
Big River.
Okay.
Leader of the Pack. The Ellie Greenwich musical.
One of the first jukebox musicals ever.
And a musical that closed before the Tonys even came out. And it was nominated for Best Musical. Do you know what it is? Because I have a really gross story that I'm going to send along with it.
Marilyn?
Quilters.
Quilters!
Can I tell you my quilter story?
Please do. Okay.
When I was in high school, I used to make fun of quilters all the time because I thought, no offense, anybody. I'll tell you why. There were community theaters everywhere.
It's like Cross Stitch, the musical.
I can go to Joanne's Fabrics. We can hum along. We'll call it a day.
I got it.
So I used to make fun of it a lot just because all the theaters around me were always doing quilters.
It was very popular for a while.
It was very popular. Yeah. Every theater, you were like, what are they doing? Quilters. Like, no matter what was going on.
Always Patsy Cline and quilters.
Like our season this year.
And Agnes of God.
From January to February, it's quilters. And then in March, our spring musical is going to be quilters. And then over the summer, we're very excited because we're going to do quilters.
Quilters is back. And you're
like, so anyway, my best friend Laura was convinced that I was joking and that I really liked quilters. And so for my birthday, I think it was my 18th birthday, she said, I've got a big gift for you. Get in the car. We're going down to LA because I lived in the suburbs. And she dropped me off at a community theater. And she's like, we're going to go see quilters. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, we're going to go see quilters. She goes, I know that you love it so much. And I'm like, I'm being sarcastic. Like, I'm sarcastic. When I say I love quilters, I'm being sarcastic. And she's like, oh, I didn't know that. She's like, but we're going to go see quilters tonight. We have to go see quilters. So we in this community theater, it was the worst production of quilters I've ever
had
seen
ever
in my
seen
life.
It before?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course I had. Oh, yeah. Because I had seen it 90 freaking times.
Oh, you actually had seen it.
I thought for many you meant the Broadway production.
Is all they do is just sit and just quilt the whole time?
Each patch on the quilt is a different part of their life. It's not when it's done right, it's not a bad musical. But you know when you see so many bad productions, you're like, I can't take it anymore.
Exactly.
So this is my favorite part of Quilters. I hope I'm getting this part of the story right, but I remember the second part of the story. Claire Isabel. So it's just these women on stage, and there's a tornado that comes that wipes out the entire town. And so they do this like interpretive dance, these women, and that house goes away, and they all like fall on the
Rob's
floor.
Rob's doing a Bill T. Jones sort of choreographic spring awakening routine
all
right now.
Fall, and there's dead silence. Mm. Their music isn't playing, just so the silence intensifies the dramatic moment. And the last actress, I swear to you, she falls on the floor gracefully. She lands on her back, and then she turns over on her stomach, and as she's turning, she lets out the biggest fart I ever heard in my life. And since that day, I hate to say this, we call the show Quilters.
Explicit rating. That's good.
But I was farted on in a production.
Nice alliteration, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was farted on in a production of Quilters.
Best part of the show, huh?
Actually, yeah. And intermission was pretty good. Yeah, I liked intermission. So anyway, go see Quilters.
Okay, so that was part of the... we forget that that was part of the 1985
season. So that was part
Broadway
of the 1985 season. And there are also some other... So for Julie Stein highlights, Susan Anton does a...
Who's that? I don't even know who that is.
She was...
Sorry, Susan.
No, she really wasn't that famous.
Was she like representing the league? I mean, like, what is...
Susan Anton was a singer in the 70s. Like, she did Vegas all the time. She wasn't that successful. She really wasn't that successful.
Sorry.
But to represent Julie Stein, she sings Little Girl from Little Rock. This is the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life. Cy Coleman, to represent Cy Coleman, they have George Hearn come out and sing "Hey, Look Me Over" while dancing a hoedown. Have you ever seen George Hearn dance a hoedown?
First of all, George Hearn singing "Hey, Look Me Over."
Hey,
second of all,
look me over, yeah,
with his like double chin, yeah, pulling his neck there back, and then also doing a hoedown is
kind of amazing. And then the pièce de résistance is they have Dick Van Dyke come out and sing "Gus the Theater Cat" from Memories. Which is kind of genius.
They were like all of Angela Lloyd Webber's catalog up until that point. And they were like, gosh, what song can we have Dick Van Dyke? Gus the Theater
Gus
Cat.
The Theater
there
Cat.
It is. There it is.
And there are little snippets of other songs.
Nothing from Jesus Christ Superstar. Nothing from, nothing from Joseph. No.
Oh, well, they do have, they have little snippets of little bits of Andrew Lloyd Webber, but like the big song is Dick Van Dyke singing Gus the Theater Cat.
Which
but
is a spoken song.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My favorite part, though, this is actually why I think people should watch it.
Your favorite thing, yes.
My favorite thing is at the end of the broadcast, which is really cool, they bring out three pianos, and Cy Coleman sits at one, Julie Stein sits at one, and Andrew Lloyd Webber sits at one. And they're like, even though they've created this amazing body of work, they're still writing, and they're going to give us glimpses of three songs that they're working on for upcoming productions.
Brilliant.
So Andrew Lloyd Webber sings, he plays Tell Me on a Sunday. From
it had already been written, but yes, I'll give him that.
What's the one from Song and Dance? Not Unexpected Song.
Take me to a park that's covered with trees.
So he sings that while Maureen McGovern, or he plays that while Maureen McGovern sings.
Lovely.
Then this I find so interesting. The Julie Stein one, they're like, and Julie Stein is working on a musical of Treasure Island.
Not Red Shoes.
Not Red Shoes. Like, he's working on a musical version of Treasure Island, which then went to Canada the next year and didn't go beyond Canada. And the song was called Rainbow's End.
Wow.
And George Hearn sang it, and it was very lovely. But we're never going to hear that song ever again.
Never.
And then Cy Coleman was working on a show called 13 Days to Broadway, which was about a group of people putting a show on the road, like a musical on the road, which also never went anywhere. And there was a song called You There in the Back Row, and that's the big number that everybody ends with. It's the
not
whole
like
company.
Isn't there like You There in the Back Row?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's Cy Coleman?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That you did good. What is that also some, did they recycle that for something else?
I thought it was Sondheim, but that, but I'm completely wrong.
No.
But I would have guessed that. You there in the back row.
That's it. Cy Coleman plays it and the whole cast sings it.
Aww.
Which I think is what I find, it's so nice to be like, oh my God, they're look at this. And then you go, one out of those three came.
Hey, that's showbiz, kid.
That's...
You know,
that's how the Tony should have ended, with you popping and going, that's showbiz, kid.
Yeah.
And in something very touching, they gave an honorary award to Huell Brenner a few months before he dies.
So,
because he had been playing the king. It was his last tour, The King and I. That's all he did was.
Did he do a
puzzle? You know what I really wanted to see? I wanted to see him play Dolly Levi and Carol Channing play the King of Siam. Just to like spice up those long running performances.
Well, they were going to alternate roles. Like every night, they would just like pick and choose. Which, you know, tonight we're going to do King and I. Tomorrow night we're going to do Dolly. I'm going to be Dolly. You're going to be Horace.
Ephraim, let me go. The oak leaf fell out of my Bible.
That's good. That's a good Yul Brynner.
Thank you.
Yes.
Before the parade.
And you can see.
Passes by.
And Carol's like, it's a pride you'll be.
That's it.
And one, two, three, and one, two, three, and one, two, three. Ooh. It's saturated.
That's how she does it.
It's
Mrs. Anna, I'm dying.
Oh my God. Oh, that's okay, that's genius. If they had just flipped roles, can you imagine?
Totally. Flip a coin.
I put my hand in there. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Mr. Van de Gelder. And I'm like,
oh my God.
That would be, I would pay money for that.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
So mine is the, ladies and gentlemen, the 1985 Tony Awards.
I like that, Rob. I'm going to check that out.
Fully available on YouTube. But if you don't have a lot of time, just skip to the end.
Indeed.
To watch Cy Coleman, Julie Stein, and Andrew Lloyd Webber perform songs that never went anywhere.
I definitely want to see that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's the original new musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What about you?
I have a it's a recording. It is a show, but it's the recording that I want to celebrate from 2006. It is I'm going to call it a song cycle. Even I would say it's a cousin. It's best friends of Songs for a New World.
Is it Jason Robert Brown?
No. But here's the really cool thing, and I'm surprised more people haven't talked about this. It was made 11 years after Songs for a New World came out. But on this recording and performed at Lincoln Center, because this cast performed at Lincoln Center, was the exact same cast as the original Songs for a New World. That's my head exploding.
And that's Julia Murney? No.
Nope. It's Jessica Mulaski.
Jessica Mulaski, Brooks.
Andrea Burns.
Brooks
is Manchkis. And... John. The original other, not Ty Taylor, but Billy Porter. Billy Porter famously was in Songs for New World, but he had a recording contract, so RCA could not record him for Songs for New World, so they had to hire Ty Taylor to do
his track. So wait a minute,
track.
I haven't heard of this. So wait, this is the original cast
so
of...
So I haven't even said this the show yet.
Yeah, but the original cast
the original
of,
cast
from
of
New
Songs for New World
is doing another
met
song
again
cycle.
To do another song cycle.
Not Jason Robert Brown,
and then
though.
The fifth person on the recording that wasn't in that cast is Gavin Creel.
Well, I don't even know what this is. Is
it's called It's Only Life by
John
Buchino. That's right. It's epic.
That smile that lights your face.
I love you for singing that. Oh, speaking. So there's so many connections here, which are really fun about this album. When I first put this album on in 2006, I was on a road trip. I was driving from Atlanta to New York. It was one of those rare instances where you put on a recording and every song that you've never heard before, you're like... This is amazing.
Yeah.
Every single song did that for me. Much like the first time I ever played Songs for New World in 1997.
Oh, you know, God, was that good.
I remember that. I remember hearing that music for the first time and thinking, oh my goodness, I've never heard anything like this ever.
Jenny's Afraid of Water.
Oh, God,
I still cry when I hear that.
It's so good. So imagine hearing the original, all those cast members joining again to do this, to celebrate this other writer, John Buchino. John Buchino, you know, he says that he thought he was going to be like an Elton John, a singer-songwriter kind of guy. But when he went to L.A. In his younger years, they said, your songs are too complex. Your songs are too – there's too much going on. He found his voice. He does not read or write music, but he writes music, but he doesn't literally like pen on paper write music.
Yeah.
But he's got a treasure trove of songs. He did have a show on Broadway called A Catered Affair.
Yes.
He has a really great album that was done maybe 15 years ago called Grateful that had all like Art Garfunkel, Liza Minnelli, and Kristen Chenoweth.
Doesn't Liza Minnelli sing that face
that,
on?
That smile, yeah. Well, so That Smile is featured on this album, the It's Only Life album.
But Brooks Eshmenka sings it, right?
The whole company does.
Oh, the whole company.
Yeah, in fact, I'll get there. So this song cycle or this sort of you could if you have a theater, you could do this as a show. It's
marvelous.
Still being done.
Oh, do
it's
it.
Only
please
life.
Do it, people.
But it is like Songs for New World, where there is no dialogue. It's song. And the sort of concept is you know, yearning for more in your life and trying to find fulfillment and living in fear. And by the end of the song cycle, enjoying love and fearlessness.
Give me an arc. Give me an arc.
That's what it is. And there is an arc to it. Daisy Prince, who is Hal Prince's daughter, who was the reason behind Songs for a New World, she was the one that put this together as well. So there's lots of parallels. Also, that song that you keep talking about, That Smile, is an ensemble number with all five voices. The vocal arrangement was done by Jason Robert Brown. So what I love is Jason Robert Brown has had an effect on many, many, many different other writers. He, you know, if you listen to A New Brain, the original cast album, all the vocal arrangements, Jason Robert Brown. You listen to John and Jed, the Andrew Lippo thing. There's a handwritten score that is Jason Robert Brown's handwritten score because he worked on that show as well. So what I appreciate about him is that he spread the love around and he helped out a lot of the people. That Smile, I would like you guys to listen to it. It's really good, but there's a moment in the middle of the song where they go into, let's say we go into In Transit Land, if you will.
Oh, it's amazing.
And it's like, and part of me is a little when Brooks goes into the vocal percussive, I like it.
I'm obsessed
with it. Question mark? But it's really good. And the vocal range, it's amazing. And the song is beautiful. I've always loved that song. And on the other album, the Grateful album, it's, I believe it's Billy Stritch and Liza Minnelli sing it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a really nice duo. But in this album, it is the full company. I tried to write songs that I liked from it, and I ended up just writing almost every single song.
Yeah, just
song.
Write the whole album. Yeah.
And you're going to find songs that were on his other albums, like Sweet Dreams, Unexpressed, that Adam Gettle sang on that album, on the Grateful album. But then there's other songs called I'm Not Waiting, Love Quiz, that Andrea Byrne sings, which is this charming song about trying to find love in the through the filter of, you know, one of those cosmopolitan, you know, quiz games that you play in the magazine, and how that, you know, the singer's affection, the effect that has on her. It's a sweet album, and I'm a huge fan of it, and I just rediscovered it recently.
It's only life.
Oh, it's not that big a deal. That's the lyric.
That's such a brilliant. I didn't even realize it was the same cast.
Isn't that wild?
You know what would have been really cool? You know what I wish Daisy Prince would have done?
What?
If she had done that with like Andrew Lippa. Or Michael John Lacuse, like just like in
just kind of
just
went
the
around.
Same cast,
Adam Gettle, the come same on, let's cast, do your stuff. Yeah,
just doing the same evening. Can I give you a quick little shout out for Brooks Ashmankus?
Yeah,
he does the best, I think, on record version of "She Loves Me" I've ever seen in my life.
Like "She Loves Me," and to my amazement,
it's online. He did it at the Huntington Theater Company in Boston. I swear to God,
he
was George.
He was not.
Nope, he wasn't Sipos.
Okay.
And he is, it's perfect.
Okay.
He is brilliant. And you're like, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Because if George was a my feeling is if George and Amalia look like conventional leading people.
If he's like too sexy.
Then you're like, well, you're they like, can get other people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the, you know what I'm saying.
No, I
But there's
get
something
it.
A little.
I get it.
Also, you want people
world.
To contrast with Amalia, not Amalia, Kadai and Alona.
Yes.
You need a contrast there. And if they all look like they could be interchangeable, it's right. Not so fun.
They're like the hot couple.
Yeah. But if you have a George and Amalia that look more average and more run-of-the-mill, suddenly the show becomes very sweet.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And he does a She Loves Me that I'm like, this is genius.
Totally.
So I want to give a shout out to him.
Thank you. That's really cool. Yeah.
So it's...
It's Only Life.
And the 1985 Tony Awards.
Check it
you
out.
You there in the back row. Thank
Rob.
You. I'll be
you
here.
You sang
all
a lot today. That was nice.
I did. I have to be on vocal rest. And you can't use any of this because I've got a contract with RCA.
It's all copyright.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah, indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Do you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was going
to
do
No Robert Goulet. Like,
no. Can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar.
Two nights only at the Mirage. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Well, lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villachez?
Who is Hervé
Villachez?
Oh my god, I fell for it again.
You fell for it.
That wasn't even the script.
The man has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen Sondheim.
Right, but I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway,
oh, yes.
Guys, help us out. Please.
Thanks, everyone.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.